Okay, here we go. Good evening, gentlemen. We continue in the Rambam Hilchos Macholos Asuras Perek Yud Halacha Chaf Vav, Chapter 10, Law 26. Mi she'ochal gvina o chalav tchila. If a person first eats some cheese or drinks some milk, so there's definitely a milk taste in his mouth. Mutar lechol achrav basor miyad. You may eat meat right away afterwards. Now, we have to know what does right away mean. It can't be right away, because something has to happen, and that's the next line. V'tzarech sheyodiach yodov. First of all, you got to wash your hands, because your hands could have some cheese residue on your fingers. Not everybody has great utensils. And now you're going to eat the meat. You're going to have a Joe, imagine have a piece of cheese, pizza, and then eating Joe Boo's wings. So the pizza probably ate with your hands. And then Joe
your
Boo's
hands?
Yeah.
And that's not how Lee Byron's eats pizza.
Okay, anyway. But Joe Boo's wings eat with your hands. So there, you got to wash your hands, number one. But that's not enough. V'yikanach piv bein ha'gvinu bein ha'basar. You got to clean out your mouth in between the cheese and in between the meat. Okay. Now, let's see what we got over here. Number one, washing the hands. That's according according to Beis Hillel. Okay. And, well, it's interesting. Rashi explains the idea of washing out. The Beis Hillel says it's washing out your mouth, but the Rambam says it means washing your hands. Okay. And other opinions, like the Riff and Rashi says, you also got to wash out your mouth and clean it out. And that's the way we hold. We hold that you have to do two things. You have to eat something solid. Well, it's going to say, Ubameh mekanach piv. Let's read ahead. And how do you clean out your mouth? Bepas o beperos shelo asam ubolam opaltam. You take some bread or some fruits, you chew them up, and now you have a choice. You can either swallow them or spit them out. But either way, it accomplishes the same goal, because whatever residue is on your teeth and on your palate, it now has gotten chewed away from the food you're eating. Okay? And really, ubakol mekan chinesapeh, really you can clean out your mouth is just about any food, with the exceptions of chutz mitzmorim, except for dates, or kemach, or flour, or irakas, or vegetables. Why? She'ein elu mekan chen yofeh. They don't really clean the mouth so well, and it keeps a bit of the residue over there. Or we hold that besides that, besides the kinuach, you also need hadocha, you also need to rinse your mouth. Therefore, we would say you'd have to eat something, like a piece of bread, and then drink something. Or probably the simplest method would be to brush your teeth. That would certainly rinse your teeth, rinse your mouth out, and that would probably do that as well. But that we hold you need kinuach and hadocha. You need to clean it out and rinse it out. And
that's what shavuos halachas, isn't it?
That's exactly. So, but you have to do it, and then right after that, you go right to the meat. That's not a problem. Chav zayin bamed varmurim. When do we say this? Bipsar behema ochaya. If you're going to be eating afterwards, beef. Or a beast.
Venison, right.
Right? Then you need to clean it out the way we said. Even though they got to really remember, it's interesting why the Rambam clumps this two together. Basar and Behema and Chaya. Because really, the biblical prohibition is with Behema only.
Right.
And not with Chaya. And the commentaries talk about this. Because really, the meat of a Chaya with milk is only Aser Drabbana. As Ram already said.
The chicken, which he's about
right,
to say.
So why would we make a difference, for example, between, yes, we're saying the beast meat is on the same level as the beef, but different than a chicken. So his commentaries suggest, Kasav Mishnah suggests, that the meat of a beast is more similar to the beef meat as
more.
Well.
That's what it seems.
Okay, and therefore they make it just like that.
Well, because a wild beast gives milk as well.
And others give another reason. They allow it with chicken alone. They're lenient because it doesn't stick to the palate as much, while the beast meat sticks more to the palate. Be that as it may, but we only say this when you're eating beef or beast. But if you're going to eat chicken after the milk, and it's you don't eat anything.
Whoa!
We don't hold like that, but. But
the Rambam does.
Rambam holds like that. So I guess Svardim can hold like that.
Sure.
I don't know. We'd have to see further because it's only Drabbanan. Chicken's only Drabbanan.
Yeah.
So how strict do you want to be already when you're having chicken afterwards in terms of cleaning out your mouth.
Can this be within the same meal? Like you can wash, have dairy and bread, and then do this, and then have meat, and then bench, and it's all one meal?
There are those who, that's a big machlokas, but there are those who say you could do that. There are those that say you could do that. Those who say you could do that. Others suggest better to bench. There's millions of opinions on this one for Shavuos.
So for Shavuos,
same thing.
You can't brush. So
no,
so
but you're taking a pause in between the meal. Some say you take the milchix, take the milchix. We got to do a lot of things. Got to change the table. Got to do a lot of switching around, and then. Well, technically, I mean, you could have some cheesecake and whatever. Then eat a piece of fish, make a little l'chaim, and then you go on to the meat.
Yeah,
and that would be fine.
Some people, there's a big thing with mashkin also. Some people have a good shot of scotch. That'll get rid of a lot of stuff.
But you still have to eat something solid in between. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So that would all be acceptable.
Well, salad. A lot of people have the salad.
Vegetables aren't.
Now, vegetables isn't the best.
It's not the best.
It's your rucos. But you have something else. Eat some
crouton.
Have a piece of challah. A piece of challah. There's a lot of things you can eat. Fruits.
Fruit salad. That fruit salad, I think, is definite.
So then you would finish your cheesecake.
There's a lot of challenges here. Because number one, you're going to have to change the tablecloth or something. Or if you have placemats or something. Or you can make kiddush and a motzi in the dining room, and then let's say retire to the kitchen to have your milchix.
I don't think you'd have your milchix then.
Yes.
Okay, so go there and then come back to there for the meal.
And then come back to your meal.
Okay. I see.
Yeah.
Have the milchix, have the cheesecake, have all that stuff, and then have and then come back to the regular table, have another piece of challah, make a l'chaim, and then you're done. And then you continue on with the meat meal. You could do it. There's a lot of logistics. That's what I'm saying. Technically, it can be done. You know, others would say, you know, just have a milchix part of the meal, bench, and then clean everything, go for a little walk, and then come back, and you know. There are different levels of how strict you want to be. There's lots of opinions. Mm-hmm. You'll find one that will go according to what you want to do. Okay, but clearly you have to have that minimal of cleaning out the palate and rinsing it out, and you have to wash your hands and you make sure that all the dairy is off the table and all those other things. And it gets very time consuming. The easiest way is go to another room and do that in the middle of the meal. That would be the easiest.
But if you have
can't
a fruit,
just dairy.
Well, if I recall properly, the best thing is to have meat at all four meals.
That's the ideal.
Remember, cheese is the minhag. The din is meat.
Right.
On Yom Tov, you should have beef at meals. Really, you should have beef and wine.
We're going to have the wedding analogy, are we?
I'm just saying, cheese is only a minhag. That's all it is. And the minhag does not take priority to push away the din.
So the cheesecake you're having that learning night is part?
Well, we have both. Well, I realize that most of the congregants don't listen to me, and they have milchix at night. They don't have meat.
I would steak flesh every night with them. And then,
I'm just saying, let's say if there's 50 guys who come, at least 40 are milchix. It's not a shiloh.
What do they have for Friday night when they have to eat them?
Because, I'm telling you, they're going to listen to rabbi, just the rabbi tells them to eat meat. You know, it's not one of the battles I want to have. You know, it's not necessary. I mean, it's if they don't have it, it's not the worst of air in the world. Listen, we send out every year what to do, and people. But we definitely have a lot of parv cake. We definitely have lots of parv cake at that as well, and maybe by 4 o'clock you could have some cheesecake. You know, but I know the chevra is not most people. You know, how many people are learning Rambam and how many are learning Halacha that are up to the Shavuos night? So they're milchik, so they want to have cheesecake. So make them happy, you know. But really, I mean, if I recall properly, the optimal way is to have meat at every meal. Mm-hmm. At every meal. But and there's enough time to sneak in milchix. You can have milchix at the beginning of the meal, followed by fleishig. You have milchix when you come home from learning, really, because remember what we said, remember when you come home from learning, mm-hmm. like at, say, 7:30 in the morning, right, Well, Wednesday morning after davening, 8 o'clock, whatever. Yeah. 8 o'clock. Really?
Yeah. Just less realistic.
Yeah, let's get realistic.
We're starting later. We're starting diving later this year.
Because it's your place.
Because it's sunset, sunrise is later.
It's later
because it's so early.
Because it's so early, right? It's later because it's early. Yeah. So therefore, we can't even start before 5 o'clock. Usually, we start at 4:45. So anyway, but I'm saying when you come home at whatever time you come home, really, you should eat something, because if you may fall asleep till about 1:30,
right,
and that means you'd be fasting till after chatzos. So therefore, when you come home, make a little kiddush, and that's the opportune time to have the cheesecake and the wine,
fresh cheesecake,
at that, and ice cream. You know, I have all that milchiks, and then shoyin, you're putter for the rest of the day from the milchiks. And then when you're at lunch at 1, 2 o'clock, whatever, and you have the fleishiks. You know, and then by the time you're coming back at night already home, you could have milchiks in the beginning and fleishiks again. So that's, you could really have fleishiks and milchiks at every meal. It's not a problem. It's going to be machmer.
Just generally with cheese, it's not about digestion, it's about what's in your mouth. It's not
how it's a, right.
So what's
the only thing is, certain posts can say with the hard cheese,
yes,
what does hard cheese mean?
Sharp.
If it's been sitting and aging for 6 months, if it's really been aging for six, because it's like meat in terms of that the oil, whatever, the fat is like in your system, you know. We'll see by meat. It's the shiloh, you know. It's in not just in your mouth. It's in the system. It's in your throat. You can't take it out of your. Of the palate area, the throat area, it's bathed in the milchic oils, let's say. And it doesn't go away for 6 hours. The aged hard cheese. But you don't have that many real hard cheeses nowadays, the real deal.
It's Parmesan.
I don't even know that.
It says right on the bottom.
What does it say?
It says you can't yet.
You have to wait after pizza?
It's a.
Parmesan. Who has Parmesan cheese on their pizza?
Is that Parmesan?
No, it's mozzarella.
So Parmesan.
You know, little jar
on a salad.
The hard jar.
So you have it on a red salad.
Yeah.
Parmesan.
Yeah.
Check with your rabbi. Something to that effect.
Well,
by the way, on morning Shavuos, earliest Talis Tefillin is 10 to 5.
You're not going to put on your tefillin.
No, the problem is, here, Shelly, the problem is you wanted to daven Shacharis at Nates. Now, you look at when Nates is, please. Go a couple.
10 to 6.
That means you don't want to start Shimon Esrei. You start to say at 10 to, yeah. Right?
That's how we were waiting for our earlier.
So I'm saying if we start at 5, then that 5-0 minutes is a nice, reasonable pace.
Yeah.
Technically, we could start maybe, we could. Have started 10 after 5, but either way, you
by
can't
time we figure out what the morning breakfast should be.
Before 10 after 10 to 6.
There was a confusion about that.
5:49:37.
Okay, so I'm saying, so that's very late. That's very late, because normally it would be about 20 minutes earlier. So that's not. Now, other shuls choose to daven before Nates, which Mamish, I don't know what the heter is. Again, nobody has to go to work. The heter that daven before Nates is guys got to go to work. All right, so
we don't have to go to work.
Or you won't have a minion or things like
I
that.
Think we'll have a minion,
but I'm saying you got a minion, you don't got to go to work. You know, so it's other shuls are more lenient.
So what time are we going to start? 5, 10 after?
5.
5.
So then you have a nice relaxed pace, you have a proper davening. It's supposed to be the best davening of the year.
Wow.
So you just get
are we going to do like a 5 minute Ahava Rabav that you finally can get that like the Chassam Sofer for 3 hours but we could just do 5 minutes
we'll do 2.5 hours
so we should begin at 2 then
it doesn't matter we should
anyway let's go ahead Chavkas what it's the most important important chakras of the year. It's the mamish, the most one of the most important chakras of the year, and people, you know,
sleeping through it.
Anyway, Chavkas. Now we reverse it, guys. We're going to reverse it now.
Let's reverse it.
Mishachal basar b'tchila. Let's say the guy ate meat first. Bein basar behema b'mesar. Now it doesn't matter meat or chicken. But yochalak rav chol. If you don't eat, drink milk afterwards or cheese or whatever. Achivinam kidei shir sudachers. Until you've passed the time of a time that it takes to the next meal to happen. And what does that mean? In the Gemara, it says specifically that this rabbi would wait from one meal to the next meal. And generally, one meal to the next meal is 6 hours.
Yeah, she shows.
Now, so the Rif brings down, and the Rambam goes after his opinion, and he's machmer even by chicken to wait 6 hours. right? Because after 6 hours, the food has digested. That's what Rama says. Vukamo shei shos. It's like 6 hours. It's interesting. Kamo.
It's like.
Yeah. There is certain meat that's between the teeth that does not get dislodged very easily. Now, according to that opinion, let's say you just chew meat. Let's say you're chewing meat, but you don't swallow it.
Still
you'd have to wait 6 hours because it gets caught in between. You can't clean the teeth so well. On the other hand, the others say that the taste of the meat is in your mouth for 6 hours, that the fat, the oil. According to that, if you chew it and don't swallow it, then you would be allowed to eat cheese right after this. But we go according to both reasons.
We think similarly, chicken soup would be okay then.
No,
according to the theory that.
But we're saying this, but we're machmer on both reasons.
Chicken soup between
that's
soup.
Right, but we're machmer on both reasons.
It's not about digestion. I always thought it was about
digestion. It's the taste is either, there's either actual in your teeth, or the taste is in the whole mouth.
So when you think you should be able to brush your teeth.
No, down your throat, you've got the fat that's absorbed from the chicken
soup. Teeth. The brush can only clean the teeth. You don't clean it.
Esophageal lavage.
I don't even know what that means.
You'll have to call Sam for that.
Okay.
If I have to call Sam, I don't want to do it.
What is 3 hours for Sfardim come? And isn't the Rambam?
There's no such thing as 3 hours for Sfardim. No, so the only
Where
one they say is
Dutch.
It's the Dutch.
Amsterdam.
Mark Van Mitkowitz.
You know, all for this. It's the only thing everybody holds like the Dutch and the Germans.
That's the three.
No, so Spartan don't hold a three. No way.
You don't?
No.
No, it's the
Where
Dutch. The Dutch.
Dutch is 1 hour.
That's it.
No, and the Germans. One is three and one is one. But we don't know like that.
Spartan are six?
Yeah.
And this business about into the sixth hour.
You got to remember, you want to be like the Dutch German. They got a lot of chummers also. You got to take all their chummers. You want this one. You can't pick and choose. You can't. No, the Spartan, no way. What? No such thing.
Yeah. Windmills in your back.
They may tell you, but they're not following halacha.
Where did you hear this?
Don't say where you heard it. It's Lashon Hara. I don't want you to say it. It's Lashon Hara.
Okay.
Eliezer is a pseudo Sephardi. He knows all the Sephardi rules, right? And there's no 3 hours with Sephardim. You know, that's all off of.
So
that's
the Germans away 3 hours.
I think it's the Germans three and the Dutch one, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, I think the Dutch is one.
Yeah, but that, you know, you want to live with lakes all around yourself.
That's right.
I'm just saying. You know, but we're not. You're not then. And so you don't keep all those things. Okay, move on. Perek Asiri, chapter 10,
now?
Guys. Chapter 10.
I'm not very nervous, have I?
You don't have to. Eliezer can handle it. No, don't do that. Just tap it.
Just tap.
Okay, give it to Mark.
Start.
You got it?
The same thing.
No, give it to Mark.
The bookies, don't we?
You want the next?
Got it?
No, give it to Mark. We'll do it.
Let me see what he does.
I don't always get that.
This is the magic trick, Mark.
Oh, yeah, Mark is doing an amazing job, man, right?
Because you're looking over him. You're making him
nervous. Oh, I see. Oh, so it's my...
You make it. He doesn't want you to see the secret.
Because we messed it up.
Oh, man. Pressure's on, Mark. The clock is ticking. Still no?
Just had it there.
Control-Alt-Delete.
There we go. Okay, now you got it.
Okay, chapter 10. Okay, here we go. That's the one...
You made it look almost easy.
Yeah. Okay, here we go. Paragasiri. Now, Aleph. Kol Isurim Shamarno. All these Isurim that we've been talking in the last 9 chapters, this has all been of one type of a category. Heim Bimine Nefesh Chaya. It's dealing with human, not living organisms. Living organisms. Right? Chickens, this. Eating animals, fish, whatever. But there's a whole different category that now we're going to get into. There's other biblical prohibitions regarding agriculture, where there's nothing unkosher about the plants per se, but it's how they're planted or the timing of the planting. And here's a few examples. Hechadosh, the new crop, which will be explained. Bikilai hakerem, and a mixture in a vineyard, which will be explained. Vahatevel, which will be explained. Ve'arla, which will be explained. So it's now going to get into the agricultural laws. Now, of course, the Rambam has a different whole section of halachas dealing exclusively with these laws. But he's just touching on the one issue of what if you eat it, and what the halachas are regarding eating it. He's just keeping it relevant to hilchas machalas asuras, in prohibited foods. That's as far as he's taking, because there's a whole section of halacha just dealing with understanding those laws. That we're not going to do that. Base. Let's start with hechadash kezet. Explain. We're going to explain to you the prohibition of chadash. Kol echad mechamisha minei tfua bilvad. First of all, we're only dealing with the five main grains, which is wheat, barley, oats, spelt, and
rye.
Those are the five grains. Those are the only ones that can make chametz. Those are the five grains. That's the only inyan of chadash and yashan with those five grains. Everything else is nothing to worry about. Right. Okay, that's number one. Like rice, you don't have to worry. All these things. None of those.
Quinoa isn't even a grain.
Just those five. Okay. Aser lechol mehachadash shalo. You can't eat the new crop. Kodim sheyikra va'omer b'tesayim b'nissan. Before the barley offering was brought on the second day of Pesach. Shenemar, the Torah says it very clearly, v'lechem v'koli v'charmel lo sochlu. That lechem, meaning bread, v'koli, parched grain, v'charmel, and ears of grain, lo sochlu, you cannot eat them. And then the pasuk goes on, the Rambam doesn't give you the whole pasuk, it says, until the essential day, until ad etzem ad yom, until you bring the korban of Hashem, and that's the korban omer, that's brought on the second day of Pesach, on the 16th day of Nisan. And how do we know that? They'd make a gzeirah shavah from the word lechem and lechem, by matzah and by chodesh. By chodesh it says, lechem v'koli, and by matzah it says lechem oni. So it says lechem by matzah, and it says lechem by the omer. And just like matzah can only be made for Pesach from the five grains, so therefore the prohibition of chadash is only on the five grains. So you cannot eat from the five grains until the minchas haomer, the barley offering, was brought on the second day of Yontif. So therefore the whole problem of chadash is a number of months after Pesach, when new products are planted, new grains are planted. In other words, whatever is planted after Pesach, or takes root after Pesach, that gets prohibited until the next Pesach. Okay? So, but usually there's going to be a lot from Pesach till sometime late in summer or September. You got all the old process, all the stuff from the year before is already old. The problem becomes in the fall, late fall and the winter. Now you got the crops that were planted after Pesach. They're prohibited until after the next Pesach. So that's where we get the terms chadash and yashan. Chadash means the new crop. That new crop has to have the second day of Pesach pass to allow it. Yasha means old. Yasha means you could eat it because it's already
you
old.
You have enough of that to last you till Pesach.
That's right. That's
all the bakeries do that. They just
a lot of them.
Yeah, most.
Right. So that's the idea. So now he's
applicable.
Oh, let's read a little bit more. Let's read a little more first, and we'll explain this. So now. Whoever eats a kazayis of chodesh before the omer offering was brought, loka minatori, you get lashed for that. Because it's a lav, you're getting lashed. Bechol makom, that's in every place. From the Rambam it appears, bechol makom, it means it doesn't matter where. Okay? Ubechol zman, bechol makom rather, it means...
What does it say, Zion?
It's just a Mishnah. It's not clear what that is. So, because look at the others, it's including it already. B'chol zman at any time, meaning during the Beis HaMikdash, not during the Beis HaMikdash. Bein ba'aretz bein mechutz, it doesn't matter in Eretz Yisrael, doesn't matter outside Eretz Yisrael. Now that's what it meant, b'chol makom, in the clause before. According to the Rambam, the Isra of Chodesh is everywhere. Bein bifnei abayis, bein shalom b'fnei. It doesn't matter, you know, when they had a Beis HaMikdash, didn't have a Beis HaMikdash. But there's a slight modification. I'm sure you must have a footnote over there, Sam, that brings other Ramah that's lenient. Right, the Bach, who's lenient? Who's he going to bring there?
Well, one of the leniences is the Torah says that it only applies to grain planted by a Jew. So it's from a
goy. Grain planted by a Jew, that was one. Was any other thing? And it was a big leniency because in the olden days it was a big difficulty.
Yeah.
because he couldn't find it.
Yeah.
People would starve. So therefore, there's a leniency, right? So bring anything more over there?
Anything about outside of Eretz Israel? Or?
No, clearly the Rambam says...
Yeah, but does anybody else disagree with him?
What's footnote 7?
The Ramah says that unless we know otherwise, all grain is permitted after Pesach, based on the concept of Safek Sveka.
But now we know otherwise very clearly. Yeah. You can find the dates very clearly. You know exactly when these things are planted. In the olden days, you didn't know. In the olden days, it was a big problems because you'd starve to death, plain and simple. You have this leniency if the goy, who says this, the Torah says, if a goy plants it.
Yeah, if the goy,
okay.
You can do anything.
Anyway, so this is...
If you just buy flour...
Yes, you can easily know if it's Chodesh or Yashin.
Yeah.
And they got now all the Yashin updates. It tells you exactly when it's on the market, when it's not on the market.
Yeah.
And that's, you can know that now. You can know it.
You call CEO to reveal the numbers on the flowers.
So special, how do you know your Cheerios?
They also tell you. Yeah, the Cheerios, they tell you everything.
Yeah.
You can know everything now.
So they changed the number?
It's not that hard. All you have to do is stock up or you go to certain stores like Kobo or places like this.
Yeah.
Who have a big stock of that. Because you can keep Cheerios for a year. It's not really anything to the Cheerios. You just have to keep the old Cheerios and things like that. Anyway, that's a... and you should know, some of the big organizations, whatever, yeshivas that are lenient in so many other areas, are very strict on this.
Yeah.
If you want to be lenient and...
So when you go shopping, you're supposed to... Well, check the cereal, the manufacturing.
For those who are keeping Chodosh,
they have a list.
You could COR send you right now. You can eat anything you want now because there's no way there's anything that's Yashar because it just had Pesach.
5 weeks.
But it happens. It can start in, let's say, late August, early September.
Yeah.
Certain things can already start happening. And COR will send you, if you want, Yashar updates. And they'll tell you which codes to buy. And then there's, you go to a kosher food warehouse, he has big supplies of flour, that's Yashan. Kobo has big supplies.
Well, you would just buy packaged cereal.
And now many of the bakeries are now following suit to have Yashan. Not most, all, but most of them
most of the
have Yashan.
Chabad doesn't follow it outside of Israel.
Okay. Anyway, but that's, it's one of these mitzvahs that we've been lenient because it was just part of the gullus. Because it was almost impossible to keep years ago. It was just too hard to keep, plain and simple. And there were lenient opinions to rely on. It's making a comeback, but slowly. You know, we're not going to say you're a bad Jew if you don't keep it, but it, definitely there's a place to go further in there. Maybe that would be a good Shavuos night class, eh?
Yeah.
So green it was grown in St. Saskatchewan.
So what is your footnotes bring at the end?
Said in practice, it's customary to rely on the leniency of the Ramah.
Because the Ramah is quoting the Torah.
There was
right?
That's a double doubt.
Oh, because he's saying it's a double doubt.
Because it's not planted by a Jew.
No, that's possible. They didn't know the exact date, so it's possible.
This is Chabad series.
Like I don't know how long it takes, but by the time it's harvested in Saskatchewan somewhere, by the time you buy it, it's in Cheerios. Could it take
so long that it's some of these things take months. And then you have to remember there's spring crop and winter crop.
Right.
In Canada, there's two crops here?
Yeah.
I think so.
Yeah.
Spring and winter crops. So the spring crops it depends when they harvest the spring crops.
There was nothing growing. It was empty fields of black.
Right. So thank God there's people who really are researching it, and all you got to do is look at the list.
That's it.
That's all you got to do. You got to look at the list. And remember, it's only 5 grains, but 5 grains, that means pastas,
right.
Cereals, any pastries, cookies, any of that stuff.
All
fits into that. Crackers, that all fits in. Gefilte fish, if it's made with crumbs.
Yeah, that's not a lot.
You know, I'm just saying.
Licorice.
There's a lot of these things. A lot of these things, you know, can fall into that category. Again, generally, most Jews are still lenient in it. But in the more Haredi, if you're really Haredi, that's one of the cutting differences that they're keeping. And then again, it's also a little bit more expensive because they're going to have to charge you more for storage and all these things. It does cost a little bit more. What do you got there?
Robin Hood and Five Roses. It's the Russian update from COR.
Yeah.
You don't need one now.
No, it's from last year.
I'm just
looking at
the numbers
the numbers
on the flowers.
Okay, let's just finish up this halacha. Ella, so what's the difference? There are a few minor differences. Ella Mishman Shes Mingdash, but when we did actually have a temple, Mishiyikrava Omer Ruter Chodesh Mishab, when the actual Omer was brought, then it was permitted. So you could tell once the Omer was brought and you were in Yerushalayim, you knew when the Omer was brought, you know, at 7:48 a.m., whatever, they brought the Omer, then at that moment you could eat Chodesh. Place that were distant from Yerushalayim, they didn't know exactly when the Omer was brought. Then they could eat after Chatzos. Why? Because she'ein bezim isatzin b'ayad al-Chatzos. Because the bezim wouldn't be lazy and let it jangle on past Chatzos. When there's no bezim, so we don't really have a time of the offering. So what do we do then? The second day of Pesach is completely osur. Because it could have been brought at any time, and the pasuk says, "Ad etzam ayom aden," until the essence of that day, meaning the whole day is finished. So nowadays we'd have to wait until the second day of Pesach is completely finished. But wait a minute. But nowadays, when we outside of Israel hold 2 days of Yontif, then it becomes an extra day. So we're waiting until the third day of Pesach that it's Osir, Adler, until evening, Medivrei Sofrim, that is rabbinically held. Okay? Okay.
But anyway,
so nowadays from the third day of Pesach on, that's when all the old grains, and we'll discuss what constitute a chodesh grain or not a grain, that'll be tomorrow, Mirz Hashem.
No.
Not tomorrow. Tuesday.